I'm a little boy with glasses, the one they call the geek. A little girl who never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. Guys, we're all.
Right, don't laugh at me. This here is Big Dot, better known as Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, with you on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Skies Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises. Once again, as we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house with us again to bring us another good message. So, Sister Ruth, who do we got in the house with us tonight?
Well, always have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, and we're sure glad they're there and always with us. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Jim, and Brother Quick, me, and that's it. Unless there's something hiding somewhere else.
All right. Well, let's start with Sister Emily. Hey, what do you got for us tonight, Sister Emily? Sister Emily.
I had to put my coffee down.
I knew you had to get your coffee there, so come on with it.
I... have a special unspoken from my children. Also a special unspoken for myself, for my mom, my dad. Also be praying that tomorrow I'll get this call back about a permanent housing for myself.
All right, anything else?
Naturally, our first responders, all medical personnel, whether it be hospital or nursing home. And I was standing outside before, as the show was counting down time, and be praying for our life flight crews because we had one go out tonight.
Okay, is that it?
Also for our ministry and the bus we've been praying for you and the test you went through today.
Okay, and that it?
Yep. And just
all
to
right.
Tell Brother Quick, my double act, my trailer's backed up to the dock ready for a good message, and I got a triple axle this time.
Amen. All right, Sister Ruth, your turn.
I'm praying for Lila and Sister Emily and you, Candy, but you look pretty good today, so I think all things will go well. I just have a lot of faith in that, and I praise the Lord for what he's doing. Every single day it's getting better. I wouldn't be surprised that I'll be totally healed. Who knows? I may take the injection. I may not. We'll see. God might just do the whole thing. Give his praise now. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Of course, as Emily said, for now the test is over, let's pray for the results that the doctor will be able to find what they're looking for so they can move on from there and be able to treat me as needed. Of course, our police forces, people in authority, the politicians, that kind of thing. And, of course, our ministry with the bus and, of course, for a good message, for God to have his way with Brother Quick tonight to give us a good message, to give him clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and for the listeners that they have clarity of thought, clarity of mind as they listen tonight and be of open hearts tonight. And that's it. So, Brother Quick, you're on.
Well, thank you very much, Brother Ken. And it's good to hear these requests. I'm glad to hear more of a praise request coming from your wife, and that's always good to hear, that's for sure. And so we'll just take these and we'll go to the Lord with them right now. Our Father, thank you for this night that you've given to us. And I would plead with you for each of these requests that have been made, asking that you would be with Miss Ruth, that you just keep your hand upon her. And for Miss Emily, for the unspoken request that she's asked for a couple of different times, and for her housing, that would just be a wonderful thing for you to take care of that for her. And then for the Life Flight crew, we just had one come right through here just a little while ago. I know all about that. So we're just asking for your sweet will there. And then for Brother Ken, with his test that's over today, I talked with him earlier, and he said it was over, and he was glad that it was over. And I think they'll find exactly what they're needing to find in order to be able to do something with his heart. Now we're asking you'd be with every police officer in this town or in this nation, and that you'd be with this nation. We have drifted so far away from you. We're not even drifting anymore. We're just literally running away from you. And we need for the Spirit of God to fall on each of us and bring us to a place where we can understand our own responsibility of how to come back to you and how to live a good, clean life. And so we're just asking for that, asking that you be with me this night and help me with a clear mind. And, Lord, especially those that are listening tonight, that you give each one a clear mind. I would plead with you for your spirit to fall upon the hearts of those that don't even know Christ yet, that you'd help them to understand the only way they're ever going to get into heaven is through repenting of their sins and trusting Christ to save their soul. That's the only way in. And we know that from experience. That's just what the Word of God teaches us. And so we're just asking now you just be with us. Give each of us a clear mind, asking that you'd be with Miss Emily and help her have a clear mind this night, and Miss Ruth, and for Brother Ken. We're just glad that he's through that test. Asking now you just give him a good clear mind where he can listen good tonight. And I'm asking for you to bless each one that is listening this night in a special way. And we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be back here again. We've been at different places singing. And so we're a little bit winded tonight, but that's all right. That's how we ought to be from serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is not always an easy task to get to, that's for sure. But tonight I want to call our attention back to the book of Nehemiah. I began looking at the fact of Nehemiah teaching us about the prayer of responsibility last week, and how it was in chapter 1. That's exactly what he laid the guidelines down for us. And now tonight we're going to see even more of that same thing that he's teaching us, praying the prayer of responsibility. Chapter number 1. I'm going to be referring to different places in chapter number 1 tonight in order to get us into chapter 2 like we need to be. But in chapter number 1, verse number 1, listen to what it says. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. I want to call our attention to the fact of the month Chislu. Chislu is the 9th month in the Jewish calendar. And so we're going to find here in chapter number 1 where Nehemiah is going to get some bad news. It's going to really touch his heart in a very strong way. Verse number 2 of chapter 1. Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Listen to this. Verse number 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Verse number 4, chapter 1. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And that's going to set the stage for today. Because in chapter number 2, we're going to find where Nehemiah is going to be called to go and minister unto the king. He is the king's cupbearer. Chapter number 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. I want to call our attention first off to the month. The month here is the month Nisan. And what the month Nisan is, that's the first month of the Jewish calendar. And so there's been a space of 4 months from the time that Nehemiah has been told of the awful situations in Jerusalem back home. There's been 4 months' time. And I think we're going to find in our studies today how it is that Nehemiah has pretty much hid himself in his prayer closet for these 4 months. He's been much in prayer. And we'll get to the reason why he's been much in prayer in just a moment or two. But see, verse number 1 of chapter number 2 begins to set the stage for responsible praying. Look at the end of verse number 1. I had not been before time sad in his presence, in the king's presence. He was the king's cupbearer. He was the very one that was to bring happiness into the king's heart whenever he was there to serve the king. And this time, he said he had not been sad before in the presence of the king. You see, this situation that Nehemiah is in, being the king's cupbearer, is a situation that calls for some specific things out of Nehemiah. His responsibility is to never be sad when he is in the company of the king. We have no idea how in the world to know how many king's cupbearers, presence of the king, and we're not really all that happy, and the king noted it, and it cost them their lives. Being the king's cupbearer is it's just a point of high risk, and Nehemiah knows this. That's why in verse number 1 of chapter number 2, it ends up by him saying, now, I had not been before time sad in his presence. Now, look out. He's been much in prayer. Why has he been much in prayer? Because since the day that these gentlemen came in chapter 1, verse number 1, verse number 2, since that day, Nehemiah has been, he has noted in his own heart, God is going to take him back to Jerusalem to build that city back to what it used to be or what it needs to be. He knows that, but he can't just up and leave because he's the king's cupbearer here. He's the Persian king's cupbearer. He's a Jew, and he was a captive. And he's been in this land of Persia for something over 20 years. We know that because of the time frame that he gives us here. But you see, he knows better than to go into the presence of the king not being happy. Well, he's been much in prayer because he knows what God is dealing with his heart about, and he knows that there is no way in his own power for him to be able to get back to Jerusalem. There is just no way in his own power that he can do that. He's been much in prayer before God. Now look at chapter 2, verse number 2. Listen to this. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Listen to this coming from Nehemiah. Then I was very sore afraid. He knew this moment was coming. Nehemiah did. He's been much in prayer over this. He knew this moment was coming. And now the king has got a soft spot in his heart. God has put this soft spot in the king's heart, and he's done it for a reason, and we're going to see that reason in just a few moments. But you see, he says this to Nehemiah. Then I was very sore afraid. Why was that? Because Nehemiah knew he didn't have an answer for him. Nehemiah had to give him an answer that would work as a counselor, because Nehemiah knows the habits of the Persian people. He remembers the habits back home of the Jewish people. Listen to verse number 3. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, King, live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? You see, the Persian people, one of the most beautiful places in all of the land, was their burial spots. They took great care and burying their loved ones. They just did that. Well, you know, the Jewish people did the same thing. So Nehemiah has turned into a counselor here, and he is saying to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Oh, listen. Nehemiah has done much praying. I know that. I know that he's done much praying, because he's in a position where the king could cut his head off at any moment. He's there in that position. He's the king's cupbearer. But he was not a happy cupbearer the last time that he served the king. And now he has pulled some counseling on the king about the fact of the burial place at home, in his home place. He said here in verse number 3, it's laying there in waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. In other words, it's a place that needs a whole lot of tender love and care. Well, listen to what the king's going to say to him. Verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said, you see, there was not a whole lot of space between Nehemiah praying and Nehemiah starting to talk, preacher of the gospel, for some 49 years now. I know what it's like to be up preaching the word of God, and for God to lay something on my heart while I'm preaching, and for me to have to pray right there while I'm preaching, having to pray, seeking the will of God while I'm preaching. I know all about that. I learned that many, many years ago. Well, Nehemiah knows that. That's why it says here in verse number 4, so I prayed to the God of heaven, verse number 5, and said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Wow. That's quite a statement. Don't you think? I think that's quite a statement. Nehemiah is a captive in the land of Persia. He's worked himself into that place of trust, being the king's cupbearer. And now he has been told that things back home are just, they went sour. They went sour. And now he didn't do this on purpose. The Spirit of God did this through him. He went in to take care of the king, but the king noted that he was not happy. And the king said in verse number 2, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. You know how the king knew that? Because the Spirit of God had told him that. Amen and amen. So now, Nehemiah is going to lay it out. Remember, he spent a lot of time praying about this. He knew from the time that Hanani showed up in chapter number 1, he knew from that time on that somehow or another, God was going to have to work things out. He's going to have to do some marvelous, miraculous things in order to get him back home where he could work that city and get it beautified back up again. And the Lord's going to do that very thing. You see, he's been praying the prayer of responsibility. Amen. He wasn't thinking so much about his own responsibility. He's thinking about his people back home's responsibility, because there's nobody at home that can work and do these things on their own. And the Spirit of God has already laid it on his heart to go back home and get this done. And Nehemiah, I'm sure, has told the Lord many a time, Lord, I can't do this in my own power. You're going to have to help me. And the Lord is helping him right here. Oh, there's a saying, used this saying for many, many years. Ye have not because you ask not. And we see that all throughout the Word of God. We find that all throughout the Word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7 says this, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What's going on there? You have not because you ask not. Uh-huh. John chapter 15, verse number 7. If ye abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Woo! Hallelujah. Ye have not because ye ask not. Amen. Somehow or another, Nehemiah knew all about that too. Look at verse number 5 one more time. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Verse number 6, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. That time we'll find in verse number 14. Look over there real quickly. Chapter 5, verse number 14. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year, even unto the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. So he put a time limit of 12 years. He asked the king, could he have the privilege of going home and rebuilding the city of his father's sepulchers? Because he knew that the Persian people, that was one of those things that was very close to their own heart to do. Well, listen, you see, he's getting right down to business here. If we stop and listen to what Nehemiah has already said, we have to understand that there's been some responsible praying done here. Because Nehemiah could have lost his head over here in chapter 2, verse number 1. He could have lost his head because he had not been before time sad in the presence of the king, but this time he was. He wasn't sad just trying to look like he was sad. He was sad because it was coming from his heart. Oh, verse number 2 of chapter number 2. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord knows how to work things out a whole lot better than what I do. Amen and amen. The Lord knows how to work things out a whole lot better than what you do. That's a double amen there also. You see, God knows how to get the wicked around us and listen. That's another amen right there. I have seen God work wonders in the 49 years that I have been privileged to take the gospel message to a lost and dying world all around me. I've seen God do wonders. I have seen God do wonders. I was pastoring a little church down in southern Missouri. We were going to have a revival. And I needed for those that I had led to the Lord to be there. I had led this lady to the Lord out on visitation one afternoon. And I asked her, would she come to church on Sunday? And she said, preacher, I can't do that. And I said, well, ma'am, perhaps you could tell me why you can't do that. She said, I can't do that without my husband. She said, my husband don't go to church. I said, well, then we'll just start praying. So come the week of that revival, I went over and I knocked on George's door, and he wouldn't come to the door the first time. The next afternoon, I went and I knocked on that door again. George came to the door. He said, preacher, what you bothering me about? And I said, we're having a meeting over at our church. You know where our church is at. Your wife wants to be able to come to the church house, and I'm asking you to come to the church house. I'm asking you and pleading with you, will you come to the church house one of these nights of the revival? And he looked back at me and he said, tomorrow night. But preacher, don't you put no pressure on me. I'll get up and leave. I said, I'd never do anything like that at all, George. Well, George sat there in the last row, and the elder or the author, the altar call was given, and wouldn't you know it, here come George. He was just running, and he dropped to his knees and slid into that altar. And I dropped down beside him, and I said, George, what can I do to help you? He says, I got an get to know Christ. He's, I've got to know Lord Jesus. Before I leave here tonight, I've got to know the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He was a heavy drinker. He was a farmhand. And his wife said, I can't go to church without my husband. Well, from that time on, every Sunday, George and Mary were there. One Sunday, he walked in, and he grabbed me by the arm. He said, preacher, come over here so I can talk to you a minute. I said, sure. I stepped over there, and I said, what is it, George? And he said, I saved $7 this week. I said, George, hallelujah. How in the world did you do that? He said, quit drinking. And another week went by, and he pulled me up on the arm. Come over here. I stepped over there, and he said, I saved $7 this week. And I said, how did you do that, George? He said, I quit drinking. How'd he quit drinking? Nobody stood and said, you got to quit that alcohol. No, 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 no. That was the Spirit of God's job, and God did a number in his heart, and they were faithful. They were faithful in the church house. But it took his wife being submissive to him, and then it took him listening to the preaching of the Word of God and being submissive to the will of God in his life. Oh, listen, I've seen a lot of things like that. I was out visiting, going door to door one day, knocked on the door. A man came to the door. He's got a double-barrel shotgun in his hand. He don't have those barrels pointed somewhere else. Those barrels pointed right straight at me. He says, who are you? As I'm pastor of Calvary Baptist Church over here, I stopped around here. I want to invite you to come to church on Sunday. He says, preacher, you don't want me in that church? I said, yes, sir, I do. The Lord wants you there too. He said, well, you maybe won't even be there come Sunday. And his fingers was around them triggers. And I says, that's all right. I believe I'll be there. I'm looking for you to come too. Well, he never did come to church, but he let me walk off that porch. And I was still alive. When I got to the car, I breathed and I started praying and said, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you brought me through that. It wasn't but just a month or two after that, on the door, and this feller came to the door. He had real shaky hands. He had a pistol in his hand. And he was pointing that thing right straight at me. I could see that the hammer was pulled back. He had his fingers on the trigger. And his fingers kept just wanting to pull that trigger. What you doing here, boy? As I've come, I'm the preacher of the church over here. I've come to invite you to the church. I don't want to come to church. Don't come back here and invite me again. You see this thing in my hand? I know how to use it. Well, I never did see him in church neither. But one more time, I went to the car and thanked the Lord that he let me get out of that alive too. Amen. But you see, God knows how to get a hold of somebody's heart. And God knows how it is to do a work in somebody's heart. He knew how to do a work in my heart. Amen. And if you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he knew how to get a hold of your heart too. That's a double amen right there. Double amen. Amen and amen. That's right. You see what I'm saying about tonight? I'm saying this was responsible praying that Nehemiah has done here. Well, he's not done yet. He's not done asking yet. Remember, you have not because you ask not. Listen to this. Verse number 6, chapter 2. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Verse number 7, listen to this now. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And I came unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me the timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertained to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors, listen, verse number 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. I don't think it was any trouble for him to get the timber that he needed. He had plenty of firepower right there right along with him. Don't you see that? But you see, the devil will only let God's will run smooth just for a short time. Just for a short time. Very short time. And the devil's going to throw something in the works. I've known this ever since God called me to preach. I knew this. I knew all about this. God had just called me to preach. My father was a pastor for a good number of years. And one of his preacher buddies stopped me one day on the street. And he said, son, is it true what I heard about you? I said, well, what did you hear about me? He's out here. Tell God's called you to preach. I said, yes, sir, he has. He said, well, how's your prayer life? Started telling him everybody that I was praying for. I got all done. He looked at me and he said, son, I don't think you heard me. I asked you, how is your prayer life? And so I thought for a minute, I thought, I can't think of anybody else that I'm praying for that I can say anything to him about now. And he looked at me again and he says, how's your prayer life? I said, brother, I think I need for you to explain to me what you're talking about. He said, I'm glad that you've asked me to. He said, because that's exactly what I want to do. He said, when you get done praying for all of these people, and he said, I'm glad that you're praying for all of those people. He said, I am very glad that you're praying for that many people. He said, but when you get done praying, you need to stay put and be quiet. Well, I hadn't hardly been preaching at all, and I was just young. And I looked back at him, and I said, well, sir, why do I need to do all that? And he looked back at me, and he put his hand up on my shoulder, and he said, because you had your say, and God has listened to you. Now you need to be quiet and stay put until God has his say back. And I looked at him, and I said, thank you, sir. And he says, listen, son, he says, I hope that you practice that most every day that you're preaching. That was some 46, 47, 48 years ago. I'm still practicing that very thing yet to this day. And God is still answering my prayers his way. When he gets done hearing me, I stay put and stay quiet, and he gives me exactly what he wants for me to get. Amen. It still works. After all these years, it still works. But you see, Nehemiah knows the burial places, the graveyards, is very holy for the Persian people. The same was true with the Jews. Nehemiah is still praying for God's leadership and the king. Look at verse number 5 one more time. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the place of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And then going on down through here, through verse number 8 or verse number 9, we find where God is answering every plea that Nehemiah puts out. But then verse number 10. Verse number 9. Let me read verse number 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Now, verse number 10. When Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly, that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Isn't that just exactly how God works today? And ain't that just exactly how the devil still works today? Amen and amen. You see, Jesus told his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus told his disciples, he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that I'm going to build. Jesus told his disciples that. Ever since then, the devil has done his best to try and get some kind of a wedge in the door so that he can go on his way to hell and sing glory all the way because he has stopped the growth of the church of God. But that'll never happen. You say, well, I've seen some things go backward with me. Yeah, I've seen some things go backward with me too. But that doesn't mean that the devil got in the doorway of the church. No. That doesn't mean that at all. You see what this is all about? It's all about the fact of Satan pulling up his bunch and going to stop what God's going to do. Well, you know, if we had the time to go through the rest of this, we would find out how it is that the devil and his bunch doesn't stop Nehemiah at all. They got a job to do for the Lord. They're going to get it done. Amen and amen. You see, God indeed can be rolling up blessing upon blessing until the devil throws up a roadblock, which proves over and over how we all are guilty of quitting our thanking God way too soon. We all quit our asking God for his roadmap, fall back on our own daily doubting God. You see, I've preached for years that one of the headaches and the heartaches of the church of our day is that we all quit praying way too soon. Amen. We just say, well, I don't think God's going to do anything with that anyway, and we just quit praying about it. Whoa, wait a minute. I've seen God do some things with some things that I didn't think God would ever do anything with, but I kept on asking him and kept on pleading God and watched God do that very thing. And I learned years ago, don't quit praying so early. That's what it means to learn how to pray responsibly. Nehemiah is teaching that to us. He's teaching the fact to us, don't quit praying too soon. Wouldn't that have been something if Nehemiah would have quit praying 2 days too soon? He'd have probably lost his head right there in chapter 2, verse number 1. He probably would have lost his head right there. But he kept right on doing what God had laid on his heart to do, proceeding and getting himself ready to go back home and do the work of God that nobody else was able to do. Oh, listen to me. Nehemiah puts himself right in the middle of this. Chapter number 1, look at verse number 10. Listen to this again. Listen to Nehemiah. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him, grant me mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Whew, hallelujah. He put himself right in the middle with everybody else. There's different places in these verses that we could look and find where it is that Nehemiah puts himself right in the middle of these people. When he got back to Jerusalem, he put himself right in the middle of these people's mess. He did. How could he do that? He had learned how to pray responsibly. Well, you know, let me give you one more verse of scripture. I'll give you a couple more verses of scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, verse 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have, present tense, we have the petitions that we desired of him. Wow. You have not because you ask not. Remember that. You have not because you ask not. Oh. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Listen to this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul didn't write, and we know that some things work together for some of your people. No. That's not what Paul wrote at all. He wrote, and he said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That puts every one of us right in the middle of it. Do you love God? Do you really, really love God? That'll put you right in the middle of that verse, right along with everybody else. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm here to tell you, we need to get out of the habit praying too soon. And we need to get back into the habit of pray and pray and pray until God answers your prayer. Amen and amen. Oh, listen to me. Don't you know there's only one way that anybody is going to heaven? There's only one way that any of us will ever get there. And that way is through repenting of our sin and crying out and asking the Lord Jesus to save our soul. I remember when my daddy led me to Christ 65 years ago. He knew I was under conviction. He said, how about let's both just drop down on our knees. I want to introduce you to the Lord Jesus. And he did that. And I didn't know what in the world to say to the Lord until about the third or fourth word. Then all of a sudden, all of my fears were gone. They were gone, gone. And when I got done asking the Lord to save my soul, I was so full of joy. I thought I was just going to bust at the seams. We got up off our knees, and my dad looked at me, and he said, well, son, looks to me like the Holy Ghost come by your way tonight just like he has me. I said, yes, sir, he certainly has. I said, I only got one problem, Dad. He said, what's that? And I said, I got to go tell somebody what just happened in my heart. He said, go at it, son. He said, I've been at it for a long time now. He says, I need some help. You go right on. He says, both of us will just keep right on doing the same thing. Amen. Well, my daddy's been home with the Lord now for about 21 years. I can't call him on the phone like what I used to. He's home with the Lord now. Now the burden is resting on me. I've got two sons. God's called them to preach. I'm glad because now I can help share the burden that I have with my two sons. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad for that. But the only way that you're ever going to get to know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior is to repent when the Spirit of God falls on you with conviction of your sins. Repent of your sins and then cry out to Christ to save your soul. And it'll be just like it was with me. Before you get done praying, you're going to know the Spirit of God has taken up residence in your heart. Oh, listen to me. Our Father, I'm asking now that you would just minister and help us this night to hear you as you speak to us and help us to quit praying so soon for those that we've been praying for. They still need our prayers. Oh, dear Father, just help us. Now be with us this night, and we'll sure enough thank you, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ken.
All right, Brother Cook, would you give the folks your snail mail information?
I sure will. 1122 Church Street, and we're located here in the city of Waycross, Georgia, here in America. And the name Waycross is spelled capital W-A-Y-C-R-O-S-S, it's all one word, Waycross, Georgia, 31501. And I'll sure enough be looking to hear from some of you this week.
And then if you wish to send an email to Brother Quick, you could send it to my email address, feelintouchking@gmail.com. That's F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do at your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. Again, feelintouchking@gmail.com. In your subject line, just put question or comment for Brother Quick. And in the body of your email, just go ahead, put your prayer request, prayer, praise, comment, or question in your email. We'll print it off, send it to the Brother Quick. When he sends his response back to me, I'll take it, turn it into a PDF, and send it as an attachment to you back via email. And that's also how you could do it via email. And Brother Quick, just want you to know that that was a good message tonight as we open up the mics here. And I do appreciate the message you had there about the responsibilities of Nehemiah as he was praying, because that was a very interesting how he prayed. You mentioned how he prayed and kept to it right up to when he met the king. He didn't give out. He just kept on praying. Amen. So who we have with us, Sister Ruth?
Well, of course, we always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We got you, Sister Emily, Brother Jim, Brother Quick, me, and whoever else is listening out there somewhere. They just probably didn't, you know, get on the board.
All right, Sister Emily, you got any questions or comments? Don't be shy, Sister Emily.
Very funny, Brother Jim.
All right. Any questions or comments on what he gave us tonight?
All I got to say, it was a good message. And Brother Quick, all I got to tell you, quit throwing bricks from down that way. They hit somebody, they hurt. Long-distance bricks, when you throw them, Brother Quick, they smart.
Well, they're probably supposed to.
Well, don't you know, Emily, when he don't sell bricks, he throws them.
Yeah, and then you better have your hard hat and steel-toed boots on.
Amen. All right. Now, Sister Ruth, do you have any questions or comments?
Fantastic message, and I tell you, I agree with Emily, but you know what? Those hellfire-jumping preachers are the best. I was in that kind of a atmosphere most of my life, and I heard that kind of preaching, even some people who stand on the pews.
Amen. All right. So just a couple of last announcements here. If you wish to get this program or any other program here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you go to your podcast section of your smartphone or tablet and type in Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Again, Six Eyes Radio. Click enter and then click subscribe. If you have a Android or Apple device, you'll need to first download the iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, go to iHeartRadio, then type in the same method, Six Eyes Radio, click enter, then click subscribe, and you'll have it on your Android or Apple device at your leisure, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And if you wish to make a donation to the Six Eyes Radio Network, it would be greatly appreciated. Remember, radio for you is totally free for the Six Eyes Radio Network, but for us, it does cost money, so we would appreciate a love gift from you, and there are several methods you can do to make your donation. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal, enter the email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, 6i6 at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, S-I-X, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. If you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six at his email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. And in the body of your email, just let him know you're wishing to send a check or monitor to the Six Eyes Radio Network and need the pay to and snail mail information so you can send your check or money order. And finally, we wish to have you join us tomorrow night for AJ and the Squad here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And finally, Brother Quick, would you close us with a word of prayer?
I sure will. Our Father, thank you for these moments together tonight. We just want to thank you for answered prayer. I believe with all my heart that there was those that listened tonight that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. But I believe with all my heart that some of them have trusted Christ and done it the Bible way. And we're just so glad for them on that behalf. That you'd be with Brother Six, that you just continue to strengthen him and help him. And for Brother Ken, thank you that he's gone through that test today. We're asking that you just help the doctors to understand exactly what needs to be done next to help him on that situation. And then, Lord, I'm just asking that you would be with each one of us this week and help us in whatever we do, whatever we say. Help us to remember that you're right there with us. You hear every word we say. You know every thought that we think. And we're just pleading with you that you'd help us pray longer for those situations that we've given up on. And just help us to be found faithful. Help us to understand what it really means. Pray responsibly, and we'll sure enough thank you and praise you. Now be with us this night now. We'll sure enough thank you and praise you for all of your blessings, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And Brother Quick, speaking of prayer, I'm in the process of making homemade chili, and as I make it, I pray all the time while I'm making it so that it's blessed while I'm making it, and then blessed when we bless it when we go to eat it. So don't you wish you were up here to have a bowl?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
All right. Well, you can think about it, and we'll think about you while we're eating it, okay?
All right. Amen.
All right. Well, God bless, and have a good night, everybody.
Love y'all. Have a good night. God bless.
Bye-bye now.